Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're not through worshiping, amen. My husband and I are going to preach today as one. I'm going to share a little and he's going to share. But I would like for Miss Darlene, would you like to come sit with us? Is it okay? I recognize the intercessor, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the prayer warriors. Thank God. Everybody glad to see Kayla back. Yay. Amen. He's been going to school and doing a lot of things like that, but we're so glad to see him. So glad to see everybody. Glad to see Brother Tim this morning, Jordan. Just glad to see everybody. It's awesome to come together as a body. Amen. I'm going to share a little bit, and then the kids have a drama. It's going to take me just a minute if they just want to sit around the altar. Some of us may understand that this is the season for the Day of Atonement, but some of us may not. And I don't want this time to go past without us acknowledging what's going on this time of year. We've been taught through Steve Muncy at the conferences a lot about this season, and we try to honor it every year. And somebody say, make an atonement. The definition of atonement is to cover, to reconcile, to make one, to draw back together. How many felt like there's a time right now that God's bringing things back together? He's restoring, he's bringing restoration in some things that we're broken and lost, and in God, there's no loss. We may feel like there's loss, but in God, he's able to restore all things. Amen? Because he said he makes all things new. Hallelujah. I want us to look at Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. Going to kind of share a little bit the heart of the vision so you can see my heart, and then I'm going to let the kids come. And it says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Now God's talking about, you know, we call it Easter in America, but one of the feasts is the Passover, and it's at Easter time, and the next one is the Pentecost. And that's when it was fulfilled about the Holy Spirit. And the next one is atonement. So this time of year is when the high priest would go, and he would go into that holy place. Somebody say, we couldn't always go into the holy place. Only the high priest could go in there once a year. And, you know, on the Jewish calendar, about 10 days ago, started their new year. And so what they do for 10 days, they repent, they search their heart, they wait for this day. And then there's like a 24-hour period. They don't eat, the dogs and the animals, they don't work. They still honor this today. And so when the church went to Israel, there's about 17 of them that went. Some of the people didn't understand why they couldn't go play that day. But we had to honor what they were doing. And did they shut everything down? Everything down to honor this day for the Lord. Somebody say, if one day was holy for God, then it's still holy for God. I know some of the days are off, but it's just the not forgetting, amen? Because he said to make this a statue forever. And he also said, don't come before me empty-handed. So while I'm sharing a little bit about this, if you feel to give, then you can bring your offering. I told Jesus, my seed today for the atonement was going to be myself. It's going to be myself. You know, the word says, unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it'll die, it'll bear much fruit. So when you've given everything you know to give for the move of God, for your family, for healing, for financial breakthrough, and you've done everything you know to do, you can lay yourself down. Say, God, every day, like Brother Danny said this morning, I die daily, and whatever comes my way, I might not always pass the test, but if I got a minute to, I'm going to let Jesus shine. That's giving of yourself, planting that seed, letting flesh die, and letting the seed of Jesus Christ come forth, then we're honoring him, and we're actually making atonement for the people because we're showing them the way out of bondage. We're showing them how to be free. Hallelujah. So in verse 17 it says, 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. And then he goes through all these laws, and he tells us to do this every season of the Passover, Pentecost, and the Day of Atonement. We're to honor God. And somebody say, oh, that's the Old Testament. But you know, the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come. And it's an example for me. And I can't really understand what Christ did for me unless I look at the Old Testament. You know, I really don't get the full depth of what atonement is, because he said that there's life in the blood. Somebody say, there's life in the blood. And without blood, there is no remission of sin. So this day, we're honoring that high priest and every one of y'all that accepted Jesus Christ are kings and priests. Somebody say, I'm a priest of the Almighty God. So now, we don't have to wait for our high priest. We don't have to go to the priest and confess all our sin. We have access. Ephesians chapter 2 said that I have access to the Spirit of God. I come boldly to the throne of God in the time of need. I'm able to come before him myself because Jesus covered my sin. He destroyed my sin. He took my sin away. Now he not only covers it, he got rid of it. Hallelujah. Back then, all they could do was cover it. And you know, when the high priest went in there, if God wasn't pleased with those 10 days of repentance, the high priest died. I think they had a little bell on him, and they drug him out, and sometimes he might not be alive. But if God accepted that, if he accepted that offering, which it was an offering of blood, of sacrifice, he took 2 bulls, and one of those bulls was called a scapegoat. And he would put the sins of the people on that goat, and then he would send it out into the wilderness. But the whole picture of it is, first they had to be covered by the blood. He had to take that blood and go put it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Everybody couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. And I'm getting to a point of what this vision is about. That we never want to come here, that we don't allow God time to move. And I call that going into the most holy place, going past the veil. We don't have to stay in the outer court anymore. We can go into the inner court. So every time our praise is just pushing, and maybe it's loud for some of y'all, or maybe not loud enough, but in a minute when they get into that quiet realm, what they're doing is penetrating and going past the veil, going into that most holy place. And I just want to thank God that we're able to do that today, that I don't have to have someone else do that for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there's the blood. Then they had to wash themselves. Then they had the incense, which is the prayer. And then they had the scapegoat. And they had to do that once a year. And all it really did was kept them alive, you know. But the guilt was still there, the condemnation, because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. Jesus hadn't came to take all that away. I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit wasn't there. He's been there since the beginning. But Jesus hadn't took that iniquity on his back. He wasn't crucified yet. So all we could really do, and that's what religion tries to get you to do today, is just come down and every day got to say, I'm a sorry sinner. Well, no, I don't practice sin. I'm not saying I don't struggle, but it's not a daily routine for me to go sin. I try to practice the Word of God. I try to practice the word of God. Somebody say, I'm tired of being called a sinner. I want to be called a saint. Hallelujah, I'm a saint. I've been saved by grace. I've been washed in the blood. My sin is laid on his back. He took the iniquity for us all. Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. You're our atonement. He said in Deuteronomy, the Lord's going to provide an atonement for us. And that's what Hebrews is all about. You read Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10. He came. He said, the blood and goats didn't do it. Can you imagine how many they had to kill? Finally, God said, it's not doing it. Jesus said, what if I go in there and I be that sacrifice? Then we can just do it one time. We don't have to come every day for the same thing that we repented for 20 years ago. God, I'm sorry I got that divorce. Oh, God, I'm sorry I wasn't good to my kid. Oh, God, I'm just wretched as me. Poor me. No. I came and I repented. I confessed my sin like David did. And God took that out of me. He washed me. He cleansed me. He was my scapegoat. I don't have to carry it anymore. I don't have to stay condemned anymore. I don't have to be beat up for my past anymore. And when the devil puts that picture before my eyes and says, look what you did. I say, yeah, but look what God did. Look what God did. Look what God's still doing in me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we've been teaching on atonement for several years, and there's only one message that comes out of me. God, how can I be atonement for somebody else? You know, Jesus is the one that made atonement for me, but what can I do now? And that's giving our life. That's surrendering. That's dedicating ourselves so that someone else can be free. Amen. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 16. I was thinking, you know, the Bible says in John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. But it also says in Hebrews 7:25, he's ever living to make intercession for us. So how can I be atonement? I can make intercession. And that's what this church is all about. If it was all done already, and that's what Pastor Casey was trying to say, it's not speaking the word. It's not that that's magic, just speaking the word. He was trying to make a point that if it was all done, then I could stand up in the nursing home. I could say, you're healed. Everybody get up out of the bed. So there's got to be more. There's got to be something that maybe somebody haven't gave us a revelation yet. And that more is that intercession. It's going into the spirit realm and actually pulling the stronghold down. So when God says, okay, now you pray for that one, you pray for that one, you pray for that one, and then they get up because he gave you a word for them. Speaking the word is good. We need the word. We need it in our mouth. David said, I hide the word in my mouth, in my heart, so I don't sin against God. But if it's finished, and the work is finished. Everything was done on Calvary and when he rose again. But how do I apply that to my family? How do I get my children saved? How do I get my marriage healed? I want to know how to get the promises now and not have to pray for 40 years and keep looking for it one day. And what I'm saying, I've proven in my own life, so I'm not standing up here telling you something that you can't have. You can go into the Spirit. It's called a rhema word from God. There's a living word, and there's a rhema word. And when that rhema word comes in me, then I don't care what the devil says. I don't care how my kids are acting. I don't care what's going on in the church. I can put that word before God. And I can make intercession. And I can say, but you said this, God. And I believe you. I believe that Caleb's a psalmist. I believe you said he had a heart of David. I didn't just pick it out of the word. God came alive in my spirit man. And when he came alive in my spirit man, that word came alive. And it brings forth that harvest. So, yes, It is finished. There's nothing else Jesus is going to do. But the church sits back and says, he's got this. Well, we have to look at the fruit. The word says, judge us by the fruit. Is it bringing change in our children just to constantly tell them words? It's bringing change when I believe that word. When that me and the evangelist talked about it, and Pastor Karen, and they understood what Pastor Casey was saying. It's the word that comes alive in us. Just the law is death. The Spirit has to give it life. The Spirit quickens it. Everything in the Word is alive. But you'll just be reading one day, and all of a sudden that'll stand out to you. Some kind of direction for a job or something about your child. You'll say, oh, that's been through our generations. You come out in the name of Jesus. I've seen you in my grandpa. I've seen you in the great-grandparents. It's not figuring it with your mind. It's getting into the Spirit. It's going into the heavenlies, going into that most holy place like the high priest did. And he brought the sins of the people. So when we have burdens for our families, when our wife or our husband's not sitting with us in church, we can get a word from God, and it will come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. He said that he upholds everything by his word. But I know that the living and the written word, they're both powerful. They're both awesome. But when you've done everything and nothing else seems to be working, you know, that's what those disciples did. They were praying, and then they were like, why couldn't we cast the devil out? Why couldn't they just say something and freedom came? Some things you can. Some things you can just say something and freedom comes. Then there's those other things that come out by prayer and fasting. And that's just what I'm talking about. Getting before God till you hear his voice, till he comes alive. And every one of you here, I believe, has had an experience with God in one form or fashion. So we're not after religion. We're not after just promises. I want to know how to get them fulfilled now. I'm not trying to wait till I get to heaven. I want to know that my brother, which is an alcoholic, that spirit comes down. I want to know that David and his boys are in heaven and Ramona. I want to have a knowing in me. I know someone that's 96 and she's hurting so bad and she won't die. She said, God, let me stay alive, see my grandchildren saved. I said, you know what? God can give you assurance. He can give you a word that's going to happen, and you can go. You can go. But see, that fear, we want to do it ourselves. But when God speaks to you, when he speaks to you, you can take that to the bank. That's going to come to pass, because that's the Spirit, and he prays the mind of God. And everything that the Spirit prays, Dr. Sorella taught us, will come to pass. Every prayer, just think about every prayer that the Spirit prays. Have you ever been in your car and, you know, you're just worshiping? Well, that's good. That's real good. Outer court. All of a sudden, you start singing, and then you lift your voice a little more. Then you start weeping, getting on in there to that inner court. In a minute, you just start saying, God, I love you. God, I can't do this without you, God. I just ask that you come upon me and show me the way, instead of assuming that I already know the way. And then he's going to come in, and he's going to speak something in you. And then he can say, it is done, and you will believe it. Won't nobody be able to take it out of you? Won't nobody ever tell you that it's not going to come to pass? Nobody can tell you it won't work, because God spoke to you. And our examples are all through the Word, that those prophets had to go hear God. They had to, Joshua, which way do I go? Which way do I win this battle? Well, you don't do it that way this time. You do it this way. See, but if we think we could just do it, then we won't ask God. It's kind of can be a cop-out, you know. We don't have to pray if we just say it's already done all the time. So y'all understanding the difference in what we're talking about? Please speak the word. Speak it till Jesus comes. Because then we'll start believing it in our heart. But there's those times where, God, I've done said this 900 times and nothing's changed in my life. I need to know how to live in victory in this area. I need to know how to quit getting on to my kid, because then it makes them go do the same thing and this isn't working. And he'll show you how. And he'll show you how to live in victory. Amen.
Amen.
Leviticus chapter 16. Let me see if I'm still going to read it. I might have just said it already. He shall take a, verse 12, he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. Somebody say, inside the veil. We can be in the outer court or we can go into the inner court. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord that the cloud of incense may cover. Somebody say, I want to pray so I cover somebody else. So I make atonement, so I make intercession for them. Cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Verse 15, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place. Nobody else could go in there but the high priest, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself. This is the purpose of atonement. That he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. So when we pray, we're making atonement. We're interceding for us, our personal needs, for the church, and everybody in the world. Amen. Everybody else. And so he told us to not forget these days in verse 29. This shall be a statue forever. Verse 30. Did it say until the Old Testament, until, you know, the New Testament comes? Verse 34. This shall be an everlasting statue for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So we see that high priest did that. And that's why I'm here today. That's why you're here today, to make intercession. It is witnessing. It is going out and getting souls. But it's also prayer. Jesus rose up early, great before the day, and he prayed. Then he went and did miracles. Peter and John was on the way to the temple of prayer before they cast out the devils. Before the lame got up, they were spending time before God. They were going into a realm that the natural world could not handle, because the miracles come through the supernatural. They don't come through the natural. If I stay in my mind, then I'm going to get my mind. But if I go into the spirit realm, if I take authority over everything coming against my mind, and I go past this place right here, I go past looking at myself, then I'm going to do some good. I'm going to do some damage to the enemy's camp. I'm going to make war on the floor. I'm going to make war in the heavenlies. And I'm going to come out with a prize. I'm going to come out with some spoils. God has not changed. There was war back then, and there's war now. That's why he needs an army to rise up and take the land. We're going to take the land through prayer. Then we're going to go out and set the captive free. And then the souls are coming in the name of Jesus. We call them forth. Right now, we call for souls. We call for souls, God. We make atonement. We make prayer for our loved ones. We cry out, God. We cry out. Somebody say, what's that? Pulling down strongholds. When you get to pulling them down, you know, you got to have a release somewhere. That's all that is. It's a symbol of intercession, pulling down strongholds. So, God, we just thank you. We thank you for showing us there's more than just saying something, God. It's more, God. We're tired of being bound, God. We're tired of getting saved 100 times. We want to be free. We want to quit looking at pornography. We want to quit wanting that drug. We want to quit wanting to leave our spouse. God, we know it takes more. It takes something more, God, than what I'm already doing to produce something that I don't have. Hallelujah. You want to talk about dying to your flesh, do what I'm saying, because then you can't go say nothing to them kid. You got to say that word to God. Then you get to quit handling yourself, and you got to let him handle it. That's when you can really turn it over to him, when you get that word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.